live on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. A new day brings new topics. Our sports talk brings extensive debate and analysis by the host, expert contributors, and callers. We discuss it all. Join us weekdays at 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
Welcome to Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We're excited about tonight's broadcasting. In our first hour here, we're going to get Coach Jernigan in here and welcome in some recruiting questions with our host, Duck Riley. Let me welcome him to the show. I am Princess Cooper. Duck, how are you, sir?
I don't know, Princess. We might have to call a timeout. I'm still watching Tennessee, NC State.
Yeah. 32 seconds is a long time in basketball, and it's only a four-point difference. Again, as I was saying off air to you, Tennessee has started just a little bit faster. I don't know if they would be in this predicament, but a good game for sure. And while we're waiting on our guests to get in here, Doug, just tell me, well, I know we're going to get in the second hour, but did you watch a lot of basketball this weekend?
Oh, Princess, without a doubt. My TV was just stuck on the West Virginia Princeton game. Did anybody else talk?
You know, I started to text you and say in order for them to send Caitlin Clark packing, they're going to have to do something with Princeton. They didn't look good out of the gate, but they pulled that off and did very well for sure. Let me welcome in our co-host, Tim Moore. How are you, sir?
How you doing, Princess? I got a question for you.
While y'all doing that, let me find Jernigan.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Doug. What's the question, Tim Moore?
These long eyelashes, is that an SEC thing?
No, I
noticed
I
the Tennessee Vol, the Lady Vol, got a few of them out there, too.
Yeah. I think that was a Notre Dame Ole Miss thing earlier today, especially Ole Miss. I thought that was a Notre Dame Ole Miss thing today, too.
Oh,
and Irish Green looks good on Coach Ozzie.
Yes, it
for
does.
Sure.
Yes, it does.
You know what? On a serious note, Tim Moore, I didn't think that they were going to dominate Ole Miss like that. I thought it would have been closer,
sure. Yeah, exactly. The way Ole Miss played against South Carolina, you would have expected that it would have been a very competitive ballgame.
Yeah. But I thought that Notre Dame took control early and held that control. I love me some Coach Yo from Ole Miss. It seems like she wants to get out there and play for sure. But I thought that Coach Ivy had the better game plan, and that played out because they have Hannah Hidalgo, and again, I think she's excellent as a freshman at point guard.
Oh, incredible as a freshman. She plays with a poise that's far beyond her years, and if she stays for the duration, I think great things are going to be coming out of South Bend for the next few years.
You know what, and since you brought up that point, and I think that's one of the things that is good about women's basketball. Rarely do they declare after two or three years, like, you know, the men's game does. They seem to stay for those 4 years and play it out. And maybe does that have something to do with the successes that you get to see these stars develop? Your thoughts about that, that they do mostly stay for 4 years?
Yeah, I think it could very well have a lot to do with not only the development of the player, but the continuity of the team. They're able to build teamwork from having worked with one another for several years. And I think you start to see it in the quality of the play nationally in the women's game. You remember Damon was talking about how he actually prefers to watch the women's game to the NBA in particular because it's a team game. And I think there's a lot of that can be attributed to the fact that there's some continuity, at least for a couple of 3 years in the women's game in terms of players staying in place.
You know, someone asked me over the weekend while I was at the game, and I think even on a podcast on Saturday, but someone asked me, what is the difference for women's basketball, you know, now versus 10 years ago? And I said the skill set. You know, because I thought there was the same height and same maybe speed, but the skill set has changed so much, you know, from jump shot to layups to a couple of them dunking, and the fact
right.
that they are really some precision sharpshooters in the women's game now. Your thoughts about that, the difference 10 years to maybe now?
Oh, I think so. I think it used to be that basically your point guard was the only one who really had much handle.
There you go.
And now you've got several young ladies out there on the court who can handle the ball, they can pass the ball, can do a lot of different things. And I think you're right on the money with that. The skill set across the board has increased tremendously.
Yeah, across the board for sure. Duck, do we have you right now?
Yeah, you have me, Francis. For some reason, I don't know if Jernigan can't get in or what, but I left him a message.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll ask you the same thing, Duck, while I'm not trying to wear out all of our topics for the 7 o'clock hour, but I know you watch a lot of basketball, but the skill set for the women's game 10 years to now, I used to say, and no respect to the pioneers, because I've watched Cheryl Miller, Cheryl Swoops, you know, I've watched a lot of basketball, even Kim Mulkey and Don Staley, I remember in college. But I remember that game as the point guard running down there and trying to dish it off, and they falling on the floor and stealing, and then running it back down. And the game was 38-30, and that was women's basketball. And of course, that's not across the board. But now the game has really changed, Duck, in that you see a sharpshooters. You referred to some as Steph Curry shot, and some are Duncan. The skill set has really changed, Duck. Your thoughts about that?
Oh, Princess, without a doubt. Usually you have maybe back in the day, you maybe had one or two. Somebody could really handle the ball, or somebody could really shoot, somebody could score. But not jumping like these young ladies can jump today. I mean, some of them look like they could play with the boys, but yeah, I just think overall that whole skill set is better. You know, they constantly, you know, where back in the day, you know, you played during the season. If you played basketball, mm-hmm. you played basketball. You played football, you played football. For girls, you play soccer, or softball, or something like that. But you got more of the girls now playing all year round. And they got the travel team, AAU, whatever you want to call it, they're always, like we used to do, and Tim will tell you, like we're always playing. So they're
right.
doing the same thing now. And they, also, they're playing against the guys more now than they back then. Every once in a while, you'll find some girls that want to play with the guys, but more so now than you know, back then.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of things here. I remember Aaliyah Boston took the offseason 2 years ago and spent the entire summer with Tim Duncan. And he had her, you know, and I think they were in the islands, and he talked mm-hmm. about working with her game, but also the fact that she had to get serious about her diet and then serious about her go-to move, whatever that was. And then also, I was at practice the other day with South Carolina, and not that I didn't know it, but they have a practice team of 7 guys, and that's who they practice against every day, and they travel with them
wow.
as much as possible. And that's who, and they all got national championship rings, but she's been doing that now for the past 6 years. But they travel with practice guys, a 7-man rotation, and it gets pretty physical. So I understand why maybe they look like they really can play defense and physical in a game. Your thoughts, Tim, and then Duck.
Yeah, I didn't know that until you just said it, that they practiced against the guys. But, you know, and I think it sort of brings back the whole concept that Duck and I grew up with, and I know Duck did the same thing I did. We always played with older guys. When we were younger guys, we felt like they challenged us, and if we could play with those guys, when we started playing with the guys our age again, we were going to be that much better because we were challenged at every step. And I think if South Carolina is doing that, that's kind of part of what we may be seeing out there, you know, with their dominance of the college game right now. You mentioned something else too about the players of years ago, and Duck mentioned it too. I think the Cheryl Swoops, the McGee twins, the Cheryl Millers, the Cynthia Coopers, even the Nancy mm-hmm. Liebermans of the past, they could play in this day and age. They could still play, and they'd
yeah.
be good. But there just weren't as many of them. And it probably is related to what Duck was talking about, was the fact that they're playing the year round now. They're really serious
yeah.
about the game, and they're getting into it a little bit more seriously now.
Yeah. The AAU and travel ball, for sure. Go ahead, Duck.
Yeah, he should be calling in now, Jernigan.
Okay. I'll try to watch for him on the board. He's not on there quite yet. Your thoughts, though, Duck, about South Carolina, and I'm sure they're not the only team, but they have a practice squad of nothing but men who are in college, but they are, you know, their practice squad for sure.
Oh, yeah. Princess, they've been doing that for quite a while, but, you know, usually they'll have guys, you know, play intramural or whoever they can grab, managers that play.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's a little more serious. You know, I know up in West Virginia, they use it. Some of the football guys, you know, would play against them and stuff like that. That's probably why West Virginia is in the tournament. But, you know, you ain't just, but anyway.
Tim, I don't know how we always have to squeeze in West Virginia.
and they're on television. And they're on television tonight. You know.
Send them packing.
Yeah.
635.
Send them packing.
6359, Princess, is his number.
Yes, he's in here. Let me welcome Coach Jernigan. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing really good. Before we get started, Tim Moore, I did want to say, I said in the thread, I don't know if we want to poke the Caitlin Clark bear. And what did Doug say? One word, poking.
Right. Right.
He wasn't going to back down. He was going to keep this up. Let's see.
Oh, yeah. I'm like Bernie Mac. I ain't scared of you.
I like that for sure. I like Bernie Mac. Coach Jernigan, how was your weekend, sir?
It was good. I have no complaints over my weekend.
All right. Well, I'll let you all get started. And what I'll do is numbers keep calling in, I will screen them on the second line and then get back to you and let you know if we got a question, okay? So you guys go ahead and get started.
All right.
Okay. Coach Jernigan, I listened to a little bit of your podcast. I think it was last week. You were talking about recruiting. Just kind of bring us up to date. What got you into talking about that? Because we know that every time you look around, the NCAA, some of the schools are trying to switch things up. So kind of bring us up to date on your podcast.
Well, last week my podcast was more to the fact that the NCAA changed the date of early signing period this year is going to be December 4th. In the hopes to help teams not drop a bunch of kids off of drop kids right before signing day. So, as you remember, the early signing day was the last few years has been December 19th, around the 20th.
Yeah.
And what
right.
was happening is once these teams had not gone to a bowl game or got knocked out of the playoffs or what have you, you had the transfer portal open December 1st. So that was 18 days prior to early signing day. And I had clients as well as many kids got dropped by schools who just simply told the kids, we're going to go older. We're going to go with a guy out the portal. We got to win now. Well, imagine those kids that were committed since July, thinking that they were going to go to that school, get dropped December 1st. Now, what do they do? What happened? Or December 10th, 11th, when signing day was the 19th, a week before. So in the hopes to make it an even playing field, I guess, in their mind, early signing day will be the same time as the bowl and the conference championship games are ending. So
okay.
If you're going to get dropped, you're going to get dropped at the same time.
Yeah, I want to jump in on that because also the proposal is to have earlier signing date and drop the February date because they're looking at doing it at the end of June. And December would be the final signing day. Have you heard that?
Yeah, which would be great because here's what happened and what I've been trying to tell the parents with this is that we are in recruiting season right now for our high school guys in the 25 class, right? So if you've gone – and this is where what's been happening, and I don't know if you guys want to talk about it, but the 7-on-7 world is getting rocked because – so many kids are spending time, or let me say it this way, so many people have created the narrative that 7-on-7, you get recruited from it, whereas you can, but it's the writers who drive the recruiting in 7-on-7, that if you take January, February, 7-on-7, Houston didn't start until club 7-on-7, it used to didn't start until about end of January, February, and it went through April. And then kids who ran track, they either jumped off your 7-on-7 team and they went and ran track. And then they ran track from probably end of March, mid, all of April to the end of May. If you were top guy, you ran in June. Well, June starts camp season. So now when camp season comes around, you either have a guy injured from 7-on-7, still tight from running track, and now he's coming into a June camp when all the coaches are out making their assessments, and now he's not fully ready to go because he's still body banged up from 7-on-7 in track. So if you move the signing day, then what happens is it kind of makes it better to the fact that if a high school kid player has a good season, now that season ends in November, December, January, February, you move those rival camps and all those combine-type camps where coaches can see kids. And now he's actually getting recruited off of what he did last season and the projection of how bigger, stronger, faster he's going to get. The problem is everything is running into each other, and then now coaches are going. Because as I told you guys before, we play in the numbers, right? And so the numbers go, hey, 25 scholarships to give. It used to be 18, 19, the high school guys, then we get a couple of grad transfers. Now it's 18, 19 portal guys, 6 or 7 high school guys.
Yeah.
We don't need to look at the high school guys for a very long time. So let's move it to June. Make it. Now what happens is whoever signs in June, they sign in June. If you're in December and you're a high school guy, you're a very good high school guy. But the day of that 2-star, 3-star guy still getting something is going to be over with because once those guys come out of the conference championships and the bowl stuff in November and December, those colleges are going after portal guys, not high school guys. And so it'll kind of put the rain. I like it just because we got to get the parents, in a realistic view of where their kid is at. And what the problem is now is the portal is what it is. You talk about NCAA basketball, there's not a kid playing basketball right now in the tournament that's been at the school he's at for 4 years. There's probably not. There's not. All these guys come from somewhere else because of the portal. Basketball is terrible, and football is headed the same way. You're going to play down to play up. You're going to play in a Fresno or a South Florida, and then you're going to do well and be an all-conference guy, develop, and then you're going to go play at the University of Florida or you're going to go play at a Power Four school because we don't have 5 conferences no more. So you're going to play at Power Four school, and then you're going to use the lower levels as your development. That's what basketball does. The lower levels schools are your developmental schools. And the Power Five schools are your schools where
Coach Jernigan, can we get a few questions in here before that? When you use examples of Power Four, I don't think we should use Florida. But anyway, all right, go ahead, friend.
Hey, now, I'm going to always respect my sister, and I'm going to respect my brother, Will Harris, brother. Florida's going to always be there.
See,
until he leaves.
Coach Jernigan, thank you so much. And I do want to say that R.J. Davis and Armando Baycott have been at North Carolina for 10 years. They're starting to have grandkids. So they're probably the only two exceptions there. For sure. But let's welcome in Susan. She wants to ask a question. Go ahead, Susan.
Hello. So I was just curious, how important do you think it is for a kid to go to Junior Day?
Junior Day.
Did you hear that, Coach?
So,
okay, go ahead.
Yeah, how important is it for a kid to go to Junior Day?
It
depends on – so there's a couple of things. So Junior Day – you have to tell me what the relationship has been prior to Junior Day, or did you just get a generic graphic inviting you to Junior Day? Two things that happens. If you have been in the DM with a coach that invites you to Junior Day and he's really recruiting you, there's a conversation. But if you've been invited to Junior Day just on Twitter and you've been invited as a kid, that they may like, but you never really had a conversation, and we just kind of want to have you up, that's two different things. And that's where my service, why I use my service to help kids really find out and parents find out, where am I for real? Because there's a ton. I'm going to give you an example, ma'am. I have a student athlete that just posted an invite from Jim Mora to a Connecticut football camp. And the first thing the mom asked was, do you think we should go? And I go, who else are you talking to on the team? Have you talked – Jim Moore is a head coach. That is a generic graphic sent to 8,000 kids this morning. And she said,
yep.
I thought so. Okay, we're not going. But they were ready to buy plane tickets and go. So if you haven't had – to answer your question, if you haven't had – some type of conversation with a position coach at your son's position, and that conversation being in the DM, we really like you, we like your film, we really like to meet you and have you come up to Junior Day, then it could be just an invite. And when you get there, you'll know the difference. You'll know the difference. They'll take certain kids they like into the office and have one-on-one meetings with them, and then you'll be with the group. Or there are other kids that will be walking around getting a tour with 13, 15 other kids that they don't even talk to. They just need to put the numbers together for Junior Day that they had, you know, kids there.
Okay, that's great. I was just curious because he's had a couple invites on the same day, but I mean, your answer to that question about if he's talking to a coach, that's the one he should go to over somebody who just sent a generic invite.
Yeah, so that relationship with that coach that invited him, tell me how long that has been. Has that been something that they've been in the DM, talk with your son, say, hey, how long have you been talking to this coach? Does he text you every morning? Has this been a once-a-week kind of relationship? Because what they're trying to gauge is how far is the school from you, right? Is this kid willing to come this far? They're trying to gauge from a recruiting perspective how serious are you and how much should we pursue a kid that may be 500 miles away? You know what I mean? I don't know.
Right.
How far are those schools, right? And then let me ask you a question. What's his measurable size? What position?
Quarterback.
Ah, okay. What's his measurable size? Is he a 3-star, 4-star, 5-star?
He's not been rated yet.
So could be a lot of generic stuff, right? Is he in 25?
Is he in the top 25?
No, is he a class of 25?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, he is. He's class of 25.
Oh, is he 6'2 or more, bigger?
He's almost 6'1.
And are those mid-major schools, small schools, power forward? What are they?
Small schools.
Okay.
They're small.
So. Okay, and has he had relationships with those schools for a while?
A couple of them he has, yes. One of them.
So I Yeah, I concentrate on the ones he's had relationships with for a little bit of time, and then I go from there.
Thank you.
Okay. Yep, you're welcome.
All right, that's the last one for right now. Go ahead and continue the conversation.
Yeah, those are real things right there. So what she's asking is great, because those are questions that I don't get a lot of parents asking, so they understand. You know, the goal, again, as I said to you guys, is find out where my kid is as fast as possible. And in this day, if they change the recruiting time, it's going to be, you know, going to be big.
Wow.
And what you brought up is very has a lot of validity to it, because a lot of parents don't get that. You know, we had a situation where a kid wanted to go to junior day, but like you said, no relations. But like yourself, myself, Princess, or Tim, we can make that call and just try to gauge the interest of that university or a coach on that staff. And when they say, well, I haven't heard of the kid, you know, that's kind of like a waste of time.
Right.
And you want to expand on that.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing, again, is trying to make sure we understand social media being a great piece to help your recruiting and branding, but it's also, you got to know the vultures. And you guys, excuse me, I'm not so much just promoting my business. I'm promoting the fact that everybody needs help from somebody in this era. When you don't know what you don't know, again, I get those calls in the morning. Oh, he got invited to Connecticut, or hey, coach, this coach just started following him. And when you ask the kid who's recruiting you, he'll tell you who's following him as if they're recruiting him. He really doesn't know. They just follow him. Doesn't mean they're recruiting you. And really helping people understand the difference between a prospect and a recruit. Everybody's a prospect, but everybody's not a recruit. And so that's the big part, understanding that everybody is a prospective recruit, but you're not a recruit yet.
Okay, yeah, that's good to know. So what advice are, you know, and there's nothing wrong with you promoting what you do, because, hey, people need to know what's going on.
Yeah.
Because
I had
a coach, I had a kid that wants to go to Ivy. And I contacted a coach, and he said, just have him, you know, DM me, you know, hit me up on X or whatever. And I told, and I gave him the information, and he said, well, the kid's not following me. I said, coach, then you need to contact him if you're interested. You know, I don't know if you ran into that type of situation.
Where he said the kid's not following him?
Right.
Or didn't
hit him back.
Yeah, so one of the things that I do, I teach, and I try to help the kids and the parents understand is like what you just said. Like, he wants to go Ivy. So kind of giving you the same story that just happened with a kid I had that got dropped. He got dropped by Boston College. Well, he was already a 4.4 GPA high academic student athlete. When Boston College dropped him, Princeton, Yale, and Harvard, and Cal Poly jumped on his recruiting because he was a high academic student athlete. He's going to Yale. For the most part on social media, 90% of the kids are following teams they like, not teams that they should be going after based upon their skill set. So a lot of that starts in the 9th and 10th grade, teaching them that you should be starting – You can talk to NAIA and Division III schools in the 9th grade, 10th grade. September 1st of your junior year, you can start talking with Division I schools. Well, as soon as that date happens, the kids are only tagging, and let me be fair here, South Carolina, Florida, Oregon, USC, UCLA, Notre Dame. They're not tagging schools or have had a real evaluation about who they are and where they are as an athlete, so they don't know who to tag. And so, coach, he's not going to follow you. He doesn't know that he's probably going to be an Ivy League kid that's going to get academic money and not scholarship, not athletic money. So he has to be taught that. And that's just something that a high school coach doesn't teach. That's why I said to you guys, even with Glacier, I understand they don't want to talk recruiting, but the high school coaches need to understand what era we're in right now, so then they can guide the parents. And we deal with that all the time. Well, y'all don't need those services. Well, what do you have, coach? What are you going to do? What do you have in place?
Yeah, and again, just to remind you, it's not Glacier that doesn't want to do it. The NCAA doesn't allow them to do it.
It doesn't allow. Okay. So the NCAA should do that, because 90% of what's going on with the kids and the high school is the fact that the high school coaches still don't do what they need to do. So when they come to these clinics, they need to have a portion of that to where they get a better understanding. As much as we talk here, talk on your show, I just say it. I tell parents, go to NCAA.org then. There's a lot of free information there. Hmm. You still don't know what you don't know. You could be reading a bunch of mumbo jumbo, like people trying to read the Bible who don't. They like, I'm just reading a whole bunch of vowels and letters. I don't get it.
Right.
You know.
Oh, which is true. Anything is. And that's why what you're doing is important, and because they don't know, a lot of the coaches are not updated on it, and I understand about the clinic, but as a coach, you know, I want to do something. You know, you should have a seminar for them that, other than with the clinic, that would, you know, kind of update them on what's going on. And like yourself, you know, we kind of keep up with what's going on, and if we don't know, we ask questions.
Absolutely. And yes, I put out
a lot
free
of coaches
seminars.
Don't.
I put out free seminars all the time. I'll come to your high school. All I want to be able to do is be able to come to these high schools and be able to share with your boosters, your parents, and your coaches recruiting and creating a plan. Whether you use my service or not, you're doing the school, you're doing the kids a disservice, because you're only helping the one or two kids on your team that you feel are Power 5 guys, and then everybody else that may be NAIA, Division 3 or whatever, they end up either going to junior college or never knowing that there's an opportunity for them out there at three other levels, four other levels that they could play at. And so they go, oh, yeah, well, when it was, you know, my high school career was over, it was over. I didn't have any schools. And they think any schools mean the bigger schools that they only see on TV. And so now with streaming and smaller schools being able to be seen on Netflix, I mean, not Netflix, but on Fubo and streaming channels, some kids are getting to watch and go, where is that at? You know, what school is that? I want to go play. I think that's the job of the coach and opening up. And I think it's also the job of a parent. Coming out of eighth grade, if you know your kid wants to play at the college level, I didn't say D1, but just college level, then that should be your number one question going into that high school. What do you have in place, coach, for my kids who wants to play at the next level? Don't tell me about, you know, what coaches are coming in and what do you have in place? How do you help? What do you do? And then if he can't tell you, may not be the high school for you. Bottom line.
Because you're doing these free seminars and stuff, that we kind of made this like a call-in show. What about the parents that's not calling in but might be just listening? It's got to be questions, because the portal is basically killing the high school recruits.
Yes. So the questions they can ask, I mean, definitely can go to my website, CA Recruits, CaliforniaRecruits.com. I also purchase TexasRecruits.com and ArizonaRecruits.com. You can go in there, California Recruits, leave me a message and say, hey, can I sit down and do a Zoom meeting with you so I can get a better understanding of this whole process, whether we use your service or not? I do that. I'll sit down with them and I'll find out where they are. Kind of like what you just heard me ask, the lady asked about Junior Day. You know, I can tell right there when I You guys heard the questions I'm asking. What's his measurable size? Are these Power 5 schools? No, they're small. They're mid-major. Okay. Who does he talk to the longest? Then you need to concentrate on those two schools because those sound like the schools that are actively recruiting your kid. The problem we have is with parents, they want what they want. They want to help their kid. We all do want our kids to get what they want. But let's deal with the reality of where they are. If he's going into his senior year and he's got 3 1AA's or 2 1AA's and a D2, concentrate on those. Stop waiting for the other schools to come. And let's concentrate on and find out where you are, and let's get you committed and signed early so he can enjoy prom and the senior year and go on with his life and have a great time and make the big time wherever he goes, and you're fine. It's the desire for something else that holds everybody up. And then at the end, they're upset because he didn't get what he thought because they let some other stuff play out that they shouldn't have let play out. So I'm always available. Again, carecruits.com. If somebody says, hey, we need to bring this guy in, fly me in. I'll come in and I'll do a 2-day, 3-day. I'll hit 4 or 5 high schools. Doesn't matter if the parents and the coaches and the kids want to know. But it has to be realistic, and that's my model with my business. I'm going to manage your expectation. I'm not telling you going to Florida if you need to be going to Central Florida. I'm going to tell you go to Central Florida if you need to be going to Weber International. You know, if that's where you are an NAIA guy, embrace that. But that's the biggest problem. People don't want to embrace where they are.
Now, how important is it as a parent or coach to give the college coach the correct information? When I say the correct information, it's just like you said, the measurables. How important, because we just talked to a kid the other day. We said, he's a kicker. So we said, what's your measurable? He said, he's 5'8", 185, 190. And come to find out, the kid is 5'3".
Whoa.
It's a little bit different.
Yeah, that's Muggsy Bogues and, you know, Calvin Murphy. It's very important, and it's very important that parents make sure that on Twitter and everything pretty much lines up. Because what's going to happen is, I can tell you right now, I have kids that go, I'm 6'2". When they see that on Twitter, they go, he's 6 feet. He's 6'1".
Yeah,
they already know.
Right.
They already know. The other side of it is, if you're a kid and a parent and you've been to a verified camp, like National Preps, Rivals, Nike, Under Armour, where they take the information and they take your measurable size, 9 times out of 10, it's already out there. So guys is like 6'3", that's writing that they're 6'5", you're going to mess up your recruiting, because when that coach finally really sees you, he's going to go, okay, eyeball test, he's not 6'5". Okay, cool, we're going somewhere else. Because, again, you're not the only guy that they're recruiting. But if you are a good 6'3 guy that can go, they might go, oh, he can go. He's 6'3". I don't care about the other two. But if you lie to him, oh, okay, he's 6'3". Okay, nah. So it's very important from measurable size to, I'll tell you guys two other things, your email and your phone number. A lot of these kids got different cell numbers and this. Parents, if you can do this, if you're listening, keep the same cell number. If the kid has a tendency to lose his phone, tell him to put your number down, because a lot of coaches will call me and say, Jean, I can't get in touch with this kid. Do you know this kid in your area? And I'll go, yeah, I know who he is. Let me find out who has his white number. And that happens a lot in our inner city schools, just because sometimes kids are just having a hard time. Parents have a hard time. But if you can just keep a solid number, phone number and email, it will help. Because verified information is golden. And that's what a lot of these guys are selling. They're not selling the verified times and measurable size only. They're selling the fact that I got the right phone number. Dude done changed his number 8 times in 4 years. I got the right number. So that's huge, too.
Okay, and let's talk. You brought up something interesting. I don't know. First of all, did Princess, did Dee have a question?
I didn't check with them, but I'm going to welcome them to the show. Coach D-Man, how are you, sir? He's on mute. Maybe...
Can you hear me?
I got you. I got you. How are you today, sir?
I'm just listening in. I came on late. I didn't have a question. I was just chatting with the wife here and listening.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead, Doug.
Okay. Coach, we want to know about, you know, you're talking about being realistic. And we both know that some kids develop over the summer, you know, grow, whatever. What's your thoughts about that? Because, you know, you don't want to say, hey, I'm looking at this kid right now. My opinion is he's D2. All of a sudden he jumps from 5'10 to 6'4.
So again, it comes back to recruiting timeline and what you're doing, right? So if that kid at the end of his high school football season last year as a sophomore was 5'10 and comes back or junior year and we go, man, he grew to 6'4, definitely those things are going to change when those coaches come out and see him. But I tell you, I have a kid that's 6'7 that didn't have anything, offensive lineman, nobody. So I had Tyrone Wheatley at Wayne State. Tyrone Wheatley offered him, and he said, DeJean, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to offer him, and then everybody's going to jump on, but, hey, what the heck? Maybe I get an opportunity to, you know, really get the kid. From the time Tyrone Wheatley offered him, he had nothing. Then he has Tyrone Wheatley, and then Bat State, then Nevada, and now Cal. Just boom, 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 boom. Three schools. It wasn't like he just grew to be 6'7". No one knew who he was.
Right.
Nobody knew who he was based upon the fact that we live 2 hours outside of L.A., another 4 hours from the Bay, 5 hours from the Bay. We're in the middle of Central California, and he's just a big old lineman that nobody knows. Signed up with the service. I start putting his information out there, and everybody's going, where was he at? Well, he's been here. Y'all just decide to fly over us and go to L.A. or go to Oakland, and you guys are missing the people in the middle. So it all depends on that. It's just, you know, but that kid, as you said, development-wise, just needs to ride out the D2 stuff, keep being seen, keep his phone or some type of camera on, and going through putting up videos to where somebody can go, this ain't the same kid. Well, it is him, but he just grew. And then figuring out who should he be tagging. So if he wants something better, it'll happen.
Yeah, Coach, can you talk about, too, again, with parents, kids holding off for that better offer? I don't think they get it that at a certain point they're going into the portal.
Yeah, so if you look at absolutely, the holding off to something better, as I can tell you right now, we're in the last week of March. I'll use this as a perfect example. Monday is the first. The portal's going to open up for 15 days. If you're a high school kid in the 24 class, it's over. It's not going to happen, okay? Anybody that's going through spring ball right now and some of the guys that are going to go through spring ball later on, in the month of April are going to miss the portal being open and them having the opportunity to go somewhere. So the portal's going to open up on next Monday. If you were waiting in the 24 class, you can forget it, right? Just go ahead and go to JC or pick the NAIA school that likes you right now. But I teach timelines. You've got to understand the timeline. What will happen after the 15th of April, then all of the coaches are going to come back. You guys know it's a numbers game. The boards of every college is going to change after April 15th. They're going to change. The board might say we need 4 receivers right now, and that board is going to affect the 25 class. Here's the example. If right now in the 25 class I'm saying I need 4 receivers, but now one of my receivers jumped in the portal from this year's team, and I already used my scholarships, I go grab one of the scholarships for next year and I give it to a portal guy this year, I now just went to 3 scholarships. Then how many of those are going to be high school guys? It was going to be 2 and 2. Now it's going to be 1 and 2. 2 portal, 2 high school. So while you're waiting, they're recruiting 100 guys for 1 spot. And what your question is, who they have waiting is this Division II school that loves their kids. They love them. But the reason why they don't want to get them, I mean, he better than that. And they waited out and waited out. I got a kid right now, all DMV, all Washington, D.C., this, that, and the other. The dad's like, I don't understand. In the top kids in the area, he can't get a PWO, nothing. Preferred walk-on, nothing. Because he waited too late, and he shunned all of the D2 schools that recruited him early. I'm like my dad. You got to like who like you.
Now,
stop using every situation as a consolation prize, right? Like, oh, he liked him, but. No, it's no but. It's no but. You better like who likes you.
So
and like
that brings
them now.
So that brings me to this. So I'm hearing what you're saying. So why are a lot of the kids snubbing the PWO? I'm better than that.
Because we didn't manage expectation early on, and we didn't paint the picture of, I can get in the room right now with 300 families. There's not a parent in that room of 300 families that's not going to tell me they just want free education. I get them with this every time, guys. I can sit in a room right now and say, how many of you guys are here because you guys are in this recruiting, this whole recruiting thing, and you guys just want a free education? And everybody raised their hand. I didn't say D1, D2, D3, NAIA. How many of you guys want a free education? And whatever we offer you right now as far as a free education, where are you guys at? Okay. You guys are here? You guys all right now? Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Well, here comes the school with the free education. Why are you turning your nose up? Oh, it's not D1. And I'm going to tell you what it is. We have already put in our mind that he has to go D1 if he wants to go to the NFL. So the NFL is the reason why we're shunning the D2, and we ain't played one lick of college ball nowhere. We put the cart before the horse. That's what it is. People are shunning PWO because, I don't want no preferred walk-on because they don't believe. Well, right now, the preferred walk-on is almost like a scholarship. It's really coveted, almost like if I can get a PWO. But see, getting a PWO also means you got to do some homework on if you're going in as a wideout or a quarterback, how many other guys did they bring in? How many other guys do I got to beat out to get the minutes that I need? And are they going to give me a real opportunity with the PWO to earn the scholarship? Or am I just a practice dummy? That's where you need a service to somebody to help. I got a quarterback right now. If I was taking a PWO, I'd give you an example of one I would and one I wouldn't. He had an opportunity to take a PWO at San Diego State, UCLA, and then NAU. And his dad asked me, and I said, take the one at NAU. He said, well, I said, because they're all new coaches. So none of the kids that are there are theirs. The reason they can't give you a scholarship, because those kids are already on scholarship. They gave you the PWO because they like you, and they're going to give you a real opportunity. He said, okay. Took the PWO. The coach already told him, I'm trying to get rid of at least 2 of these quarterbacks right here, right now, during spring ball. So be ready. So be ready. And that's what they're doing. They're trying to get rid of 2 of the guys that they got there already that they don't like. Yeah.
And most of the time they figure that out during spring ball.
Yeah. So those coaches came there, they watched film, and they went, okay, these are guys that I wouldn't take. 2 of them are Arizona kids that they got free money because they're local kids, didn't cost the school anything, so they gave them a little bit of a money scholarship-wise, 1AA. Okay, so coach says, How do I do it? So I go in spring ball. I know I got this high school kid that's going to be a PWO who I think is better than the two kids I got there already. I don't give them any reps all spring. I have them do everything, work out, lift weights, run him to death. Don't give him no reps. And then when he comes over to me and says, hey, coach, I'm not getting any reps, and I don't feel like I'm getting a fair shot. You probably won't be able to play here, son. I just don't think you can play. And guess what that kid does? And they're looking at the clock, April 1st through the 15th. If he just can go to compliance and tell him he wants to go on the portal, oh, my God, it would help me out so much. That's what Deion did. They know how to push kids out right now.
So, Coach, you know, a lot of kids and parents are, you know, not getting correct information. You know, they know about some, you know, the Division II gives out money. Division III, most of the time, is to put together a package. But they're trying to lump NAIA with Division III. Can you kind of clear that up for them?
I will clear that up again for everyone. Division One AA, Division One A gives full scholarships. Division One AA gives full scholarships, but they also are able to give percentages of scholarships. Division Two gives is a package that is made up of financial aid, football, and your academics. Those three things are Division Two, and NAIA does the same, exact same. Division III does not give any athletic scholarship. It is all academic based, but depending on what school you go to, it can be a very good academic based package. So, that's just how it is. The reason why people say, "Well, they don't give you a scholarship." I have NAIA scholarships. Schools are going to average from $42,000. We've averaged $37,000 in scholarship money for a football player with a 3.0 or better. That's how it's going to go. And it's going to be now. Everybody is connecting full scholarship to everything. Oh, they didn't give him a scholarship. They gave him some money, but they didn't give him a full scholarship. Well, do you want me to tell you he got 85%, 95%? I mean, that's what they give. That's just what it is. If you're not going D1, you're going to pay some kind of money. Can we just say that? If you're not going Division 1A, $85 to Power 4 school, mid-major school, you're going to pay some part of your schooling, some part. And if you are a Pell Grant kid or, you know, and you qualify for financial aid, you're going to pay some part of your school, but you're going to get most of your school paid for, most meaning 80% to 90% of your school is going to be paid for. And most of the people that put that out, especially here in California, are junior college coaches who want you to go to junior college because they don't want you to go NAIA out of high school. They want you to, well, you're going to go pay all that money. Well, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm just going to be staying at my mama's house paying all that money for gas and eating up her food. That's what I'm going to be. It's the same. No different.
I think a lot of the parents, you know, don't want to have that loan that they got to pay back. So that's a lot. You hear that a lot, and I'm sure you do too.
Yeah, but here's how I break that down. So we break it down a couple of ways, right? The bigger part is the reason why they go to junior college or try to go somewhere other than the NAIA or D2 school or go to junior college is because of what you just said. Oh, I don't want to take out a loan. Okay. You tell me the cost of having your now 18-year-old kid stay at the house with you for the next 2 years. You didn't have to pay room and board. He ate food at the house with you. Now you're buying groceries. This ain't your same little baby that was 13 eating up everything. He's 19 years old. And now the likelihood of that student being out of that two-year school in 2 years is very unlikely because now you got to get a 60 units to get his AA, and usually the classes are overfull. He didn't get this English, so that means another semester. no matter what happens when he leaves in 2 years, that's two more classes of high school top powerful five-star, four-star kids that he's not getting recruited from. We can go do the numbers. There's not a whole lot of JC guys that went Power Five. They're either going mid-major to some of these mid-major schools and taking those scholarships. So the junior college guys, guess what? He's going D2 or NAIA. And guess what? He still got to take out some type of loan. He's not getting full school paid for even in those next 2 years, especially if he doesn't qualify for financial aid. So they go, okay, you got your AA, which is good. You carry the 2.5 or better. And we're going to give you this amount of money for football, and hopefully you qualify for financial aid, and it'll make up the rest. That's it. You're still doing it. So it's whether you do it in two, you do it out of high school, or you do it out of JC. What do you cut off? Maybe 2 years of the loan. So if you got the Parent Plus loan for $5,500, okay, you save $11,000. You're still taking out a loan at some point.
Okay,
you know, I only have a comment, and maybe you can expound on this, because I hear you talking about it, and it's managing the expectations. I think the parents, too, have expectations, especially if they're, you know, a dad who's been watching or played ball. They want a Division I because they want to be able to, you know, say that he has that talent. But I like what you said in that is, you know, my dad or what your grandfather said, like, who likes you? And I think that's hard to sell, and everybody wants to sign a D1 on National Signing Day. And I've seen kids lie on Signing Day and don't have any commitments. So talk about the pressure of all of that.
So that's the pressure, and the pressure starts or the management of expectations starts at youth football, you know, and what we're telling that kid early on, right? If we could tell that kid, hey, this is what you need to be doing. This is what's going to happen. Maybe D1, maybe D2. That's the part. But the pressure of it all comes from, like you said, what dad played. I had a kid here, Jason Oliver. His son, Jason Oliver, played at USC, and his son really didn't get what he thought he was going to get. He got a lot of schools up front, and later on the schools fell off of him. And I heard it come out of his dad. He called me. He says, hey, Jernigan, can you help me out? I said, what's going on? He said, because we were in the playoffs and the state championship, my son, all the schools kind of fell off. We were trying to concentrate on high school stuff. I said, man, you got to keep in contact with schools. What happened? He was like, well, we were just doing a lot, you know, a lot. And we just did, man. We were making a state playoff run. I said, okay, all right, well, what do you need? He was like, man, just if anybody calls, can you, you know, I know you talk to a lot of schools. I said, yeah. A lot of people like him. He goes, yeah, you know, we're trying to see what's going to happen with a couple of schools. But right now, listen to what he says. All he has is Fresno State. I said, huh? He says, oh, well, all he has is Fresno State, man. Oh. And he forgot I went to Fresno. He goes, and there's nothing wrong with Fresno, but I just want you to know, man, I'm like, you know. Well, no, it was because you went to USC, and your father, you want your son to do as equally as well as you did or at least better, right? So what did he do? He logo chased, let Fresno go, and he went to Colorado, and he was part of the Deion cuts. And now he's at Sac State.
Wow.
So he didn't manage the expectation that, hey, one, you're from the Central Valley. You live here where I'm at. Fresno State is great. They put a lot of guys in the NFL, and me and your mom can drive up the street an hour and 30 minutes to see you play, and you're going to play every Power 5 school. Fresno's great. Hey, son, if that's all you got, man, let's embrace it and go that way. No, we didn't manage it. We went to Colorado because it was Pac-12, and in 1 year, he went there. They went 0-10. He played towards labrum. Deion comes in and cuts him. Then he calls again and goes, can you help me? Because he don't have anything. And
luckily, Cherokee Valero, the coach at Sac State, was like, I remember that kid. He's long. He can run. And they gave him a scholarship, and he's at Sac State. But that's the mismanagement of expectation, chasing a logo or a conference over who likes me, right? Who likes me? Fresno likes me. It's in my backyard. I'm a Valley kid.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I go, you know? Yep.
Coach Jernigan, we're going to have to end it there. We're in overtime. This has been awesome. Just a great conversation. But we got to get ready for another show. We're in overtime. We appreciate
okay.
you. Duck and Tim?
Yes, I was going to ask a question, but I'm good. I'm good.
Anytime,
okay.
guys,
okay.
call me. Beat me up. I'm sorry for being late again. I get this time difference gets me every time. So I am so sorry. But anytime you guys get me next month, next week, whenever, I'm available.
Awesome, awesome. Recruiting questions from Coach Dijon Jernigan. We'll see you next time. We'll get ready for women's basketball here in about 30 seconds.
Oh.